if you analyze data and take out a pattern or an insight, something that might be of interest to an existing client, it's a great way to build a relationship with this client. So for example, we might have statistics of usage of a certain software by the client, and that really helps you understand what is going on in the client's business, maybe even before the client themselves realize. So you can bring that to the client. So yeah, you're great, you're a lovely person, you're kind of friends or pals, but you also bring real value, so the relationship will become even better.
You're looking to grow your B2B business? Welcome to the Grow B2B Faster podcast. Here, we dig deep to learn proven growth strategies, hacks, and tools from top CEOs and leaders in sales and marketing to help you grow faster. This episode is powered by Subu, the company that can help you drive thought leadership, hiring, and sales for your B2B business via LinkedIn. Check them out on sawoo.io, S-A-W-O-O.io.
Today, I'm very happy to welcome Massimo Pernicone, a director at BTS Spain, on our show today. And he's also a dear friend with whom I studied 12 years ago now at IE Business School in Madrid. So I'm very happy to have you on our show, Massimo. Welcome.
Likewise, Sammy. Great talking to you.
Tell me about your company, BTS. What are you focused on?
So BTS works in the field of strategy execution. So in every strategy implementation process, there is a lot going on. There is processes for engineering. There is a change in organizational structure, the IT tools, incentive systems, everything changes. But one overlooked part of it is the people side. So to what extent people are willing to, one, understand where we're going, to really get what is in it for them, and three, having the right capabilities to execute. And oftentimes, I see companies that create a great deck, do a roadshow by the CEO, but then eventually they fail the execution because the people are not on board, they don't know what is needed for them, and have no idea how to execute. So this is what we do for large multinationals.
And what is your job specifically at BTS?
So I'm a director, been with the company for 10 years now. And basically what I do is, one, being an account manager. So I have a sales objective. It's about managing existing clients. So some farming, but also some hunting, going after new clients. I also am part of the sales and marketing practice. So basically what we do there is helping company execute on their sales transformation. And part of that implies creating new contents and point of views for BTS. And I also lead projects. So nowadays, shadow and help people inside the company that lead projects to bring them to the client, get client satisfaction, and eventually we purchase.
Mm-hmm. And can you give us a proxy of the size and growth of your company?
So I was just looking at the latest turnover and I couldn't find it. So shame on me, but in the hundreds of millions of dollars, just to give you a reference. And we are right now 1,200 employees, more or less, around the globe. So we have a global presence with multiple offices in a variety of countries around the world.
And who is your person, like for your practice, wherever you are hunting, who's your personal ideal customer?
It's a good question. I guess there is not. And so I'll give an example. I have recently been working from companies like a subsidiary in Italy for a pharma company, really wanting to do a niche specialized project for their sales leader, all the way to a large multinational hardware and software company on the onboarding, on their new inside sales, all the way to something even more strategic, like a recent company in the paper industry that wanted to kind of shift gear and really redefine and change how do people sell, and train them on that.
So the commonality that I see is it's B2B companies. So B2B companies with the Salesforce, where you can have an impact on the Salesforce side.
Absolutely. We do some B2C, not much, to be honest. We're growing that.
Okay, very good. And how big is usually a project size for you? You can either say like in terms of manpower, like man days or whatever you want to disclose.
So I guess we have a large variety here. So yeah. From something that is a couple of weeks in the tens, thousands of dollars or euros, all the way up to engagement that take easily a year and are in the order of magnitude of 100,000, sometimes even a million.
Okay, very good. Now let's jump to a point where you're an expert at, which I am pretty curious because I mean we are on the Grow B2B Faster show, and where we have many marketing and sales leaders on our show, but also listening to us, and you see and work with a lot of sales leaders, so it's interesting, or I'm interested in your take on. What problems companies face that usually introduce a new tech stack for their salespeople, which happens quite often, I think. I mean, there's a lot of new tech out there and shiny new objects, so to say, that some people just want to try out. So what is the main problem that companies face when they introduce something where they believe it adds value?
So I guess it's a couple of things. Like one that you see a lot is believing that just because the instrument is there, the tool is there, and you are very passionate with your salespeople about it and the advantages it brings, just assuming that your people will jump on board right away and make it happen. So we see that that is not oftentimes the case. Another thing we see a lot is that the profile of not every, and it's not a generalization, but of multiple salespeople is relational. So it means that these people love to be in the field, love to bring value to the clients, and also the human touch. It's really important to them. However, now salespeople need to be good at both things, right? Being great when you're in front of customers, but also being really great with all this new technology and data that is available.
And can I play devil's advocate here? Because it's also a little bit selfish because we have a tool that salespeople can use and it's now ready and it's used by the first customers, but we want to roll it out to more. And so one question that I regularly get from salespeople that encounter what we can help achieve, it's basically a software that helps you win on LinkedIn, is, well, I'm such a relational person. I never did anything with LinkedIn or online, why should I start now? It's working for me.
Even more so, Sammy, if this person already makes it to their objectives, right? Being like, yeah, I get there where you want me to be, but just work in my own way. Well, we better tell you that if you're able to be 100, how about you could be able to be 120? And this is what technologies can bring to you. And also, if you are relational, well, maybe data, I believe, can help you build a better relationship with your client. Because if you analyze data and take out a pattern or an insight, something that might be of interest to an existing client, it's a great way to build a relationship with this client. So, for example, you might have statistics of usage of a certain software by the client, and that really helps you understand what is going on in the client's business, maybe even before the client themselves realize. So you can bring that to the client. So yeah, you're great, you're a lovely person, you're kind of friends or pals, but you also bring real value, so the relationship will become even better.
That's what it just said, I think, is the key, that maybe you can bring even more value than you already do. And if you bring more value, I mean, usually you win more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you think about it from the relationship perspective, you also get that enhanced. I like to think of technology as not something that people should be afraid of or shy away from. It's actually something that is can be your superpower. So brings where you, who you are today as a salesperson, and just multiplies how good you are. And actually, let me tell you a story here. It's a great documentary on Netflix that I recommend that is called AlphaGo. And AlphaGo is about the game, popular in Asia, of Go. It had white and black, like little
pieces,
tokens. Yeah, you need to encircle areas of a large board, right? So think of it as chess on steroids. So basically, the game is so complex. And artificial intelligence has just reached a point where it can compete head-to-head with the best players of Go in the world. Kind of Deep Blue back then with chess. So what happens in the documentary? That the world number one takes on this computer, and guess what? The computer wins. And I think there is a moment at the end of the documentary where the number one player reflects and says, you know what? Actually losing and just going against technology made me such a better player because it brought out the best in me. And so from then on, he went on to win kind of a streak, a row of 50, 55 matches undefeated. And that had never happened to him before. So it's the same thing. Technology, if you give it a chance, can bring the best out of you as a salesperson.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a hands-on example on how you help the company succeed, especially also what the pushback was in the beginning from the Salesforce? And like what kind of technology you helped implement and what the outcome was in the end.
Yeah. So just to make myself, just to set expectations. Yes. So we implement in the sense that we help the people, again, the people side. Of
stuff, Right? People side.
Adopted, right?
Yes, so, yes. But that's the biggest issue, no? I mean, getting the software up and running is usually, I mean, that's something that's not the hardest part. The hardest part is where now I have it. Why don't people use it?
Exactly. So it's a complex problem. So there is a lot of change management here. But on top of that, there is one other thing that we have noticed that as the chief transformation officer of a large animal pharma multinational told me, she said, you know, with IT, you need to get your hands dirty. Otherwise, you will just not get it. And that was illuminating, revealing, because what we see from salespeople, especially the ones that are not so comfortable with technology, is that maybe they try to open a CRM, the Power BI that they have to extract all the data, and they were kind of overwhelmed by complexity. Yes.
Understandable.
There is a lot you can do if you know how to do it. But if it's kind of the first time, yes, you had all the technical training on how to move around, but how to get value out of that, it's really overwhelming. So what happens oftentimes is that people try it out and go like, yeah, you know what? This is not for me. It's not bringing value to how I work. And so you're going to skip. Mm-hmm. So that we see a lot. So we need to find a way to get those hands dirty. To trying to start experimenting and see the benefit for you as a sales rep. And the benefit is really that you extract out of those data and using this Power BI CRM systems that you have, you extract enough information or insights that allow you to make a decision on your sales activity that in turn allows you to reach your results. Mm-hmm. So let me give an example of what that means. So imagine you're a sales rep for whatever company, it doesn't really matter. And you have just finished a visit, face-to-face visit to one of your clients. So what you might do is just schedule the next visit in a month's time, but maybe you might do something different. Maybe you have data there with you that really tell you how that customer is interacting through different communication channel that the company has with that customer. And you might see, oh, let's have a look. This person is really replying to product-specific emails. He's really keen on the product. That's interesting. And this person kind of never goes to events that we organize as a company. Great. So what is the best next touch point? Should I go visit this person again in 1 month time face-to-face? Maybe not. Maybe I can set a touch point that would be sending this product email that this customer enjoys so much. And then maybe I can go in 2 months time and still I have multiple touch points between the customer and my company. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? How do I make this kind of omni-channel strategy conscious decision? Well, it has to do with the information that I have available. In the IT tools, if I can see that, and I recognize the value. This is, I can take this action and make this decision of changing from another face-to-face interaction to something different. And that mm-hmm. can bring value.
Mm-hmm. I understand the concept, absolutely. Now, if you're faced with a challenge of like a diverse Salesforce where like a part of the people are super like hyped and they are using it and they're learning how to get value out of it, and part are like the middle fraction using it a little bit, and part of them, they don't really want to. That's why they never use it. Mm. What is the best way to win them over step by step? So just my ideas outside in would be, well, either you do it hardcore for everyone and you are behind it, or you do it step by step. And the early adopters are the ones who start using it, and you build some use cases where those people even win more. And then you can show internally, hey, those people won more because of this. Maybe now you're willing to engage. What is your experience on how to implement something that your Salesforce over time uses like as a whole team?
Sure. So first of all, if you have early adopters that are successful, that is great. And you should leverage them. You should codify success cases. You should share those success cases, give recognition. That doesn't go away. However, we believe there is a way to make things easy for the majority of a Salesforce. And here is how it works. So the first thing you need to do is to define a couple of use cases. What is a use case? Is, as the word says, it's a way of using data that brings concrete value to all your Salesforce. In the example I gave earlier, that use case is a system, a use of data for you to be able to take that omni-channel strategy decision once your face-to-face visit is over. Okay. And how do you define those? Well, if you already have those early adopters, you might want to interview them and really codify how they're using those IT tools to get to better results. Why? Because oftentimes the way you use it is contextual to the company. It's not the same in every company. It has mm-hmm. to do with your products, with your industry, with your market, with your culture, with your strategy. So codify that. And maybe you want to complement that with an external point of view. This is what we do at BTS. So we have mm-hmm. a set of use cases that we have learned so far in our experience. We combine the best of both worlds, right, to bring it together. So end result, you want to have a couple of use cases where you really recognize that if your people get it right, that will lead to decisions in their sales activity that have a direct impact on the KPIs. Mm-hmm. So once you have those codified, what is it that you do? Well, you create kind of a playbook or a playbook of all these codified use cases. You try to understand one, when they happen. They might happen at a specific moment in time, such as in the example, at the end of a face-to-face visit. Or it's something that happens at the beginning of the quarter as you assess your pipeline based on data. Or can be happening continuously over time, such as before going to see an important client and really getting the right data that will help you make that visit a success. And then what you do is you codify how to extract this information. This can take the form of a dashboard for your IT system, can take the form of a report that people can extract automatically from the IT systems, again, from the CRM, for example, or it can take even the form of a set of step-by-step instructions on how to get there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe here is another example. You want to see, here's another example from a Yale client. So they needed to see, okay, if I go visit you, Sammy, you're my client, you have a lot for the industry we are in of recurring orders, right? They keep ordering over time without me involved. And you really need to see how are these SKUs going? Are some of those going up? Are some of those going down? And if I know that, I can maybe spot that maybe a competitor is trying to get share of wallet out of me because that SKU is going down. So if I have access to that data and I know how to do it through a codified set of instruction of a dashboard, I can immediately take action in the next visit with you, right? And that, again, has a direct link to the results. So you want to, again, define what these use cases are by leveraging what your early adopters are doing and the experience of external consultants. You want to create a set of instructions, what you call killer apps in a way, instruction dashboard reports to make it easy to extract this data. And third, you want to engage your people on that, right? And how you do so? Well, it's not just telling them, hey, here is how you follow the step-by-step instruction. Here is how you look at the dashboard. Yeah, that's part of it. But you really need to make sure that your salespeople see the connection between if I get these three things right, these three use cases right for myself, I can have better results over time. That line of connection must be really clear because that is really what is in it for me. And so all in all, this is a simple way for getting your hands dirty. We go back to the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. Of our conversation, and people are no longer overwhelmed by the home screen of Power BI. Say, what do we do with it? It's so complex. Say, okay, maybe I will become more sophisticated in my analysis later on. But for now, okay, here are the instructions to get these free use cases for the data that are going to bring me immediate value. So you know how to do it. Let's go do it.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's almost like you break it down. It's like a training plan when you do sports. You don't start with the whole plan for the next 6 months. You do the first sessions and see where your level is, and you reach the first few key points where you have success. So in this case, the three use cases, if you nail them, you're already at a certain level. Once you nail them, maybe over time you have more use cases, I assume, and then you can build up your know-how on how to use technology. You refer to Power BI as an example, but I generally see whatever tool your employees use for marketing or sales, this is like you have the common problem of people are hesitant to change. It's always like this. And you have to give them the why. So why should they do it? So what's in it for them to do it? And then you give them something really handsome, practical, that is easy to digest, so that they can get started and have first success. Because once you have the first success, it's like losing weight. Once you lose 1 kilo, you say, hey, it's working. And then you go on. Yeah,
exactly. And then what will happen is you can introduce more of these use cases as you get access to more data, as the technology evolves. But then ideally you will start to see your people becoming more independent in their data analysis. That is what you want to see.
Yeah. So when you look at your experience, what are the common mistakes you see chief revenue officers make when they introduce new sales tools?
Okay. So I think I go back to one thing that I told you earlier. So neglecting the people side of it. And so one is definitely that, and we cover that. The other one is over-promising. So going to your salespeople and say, hey, this is going to be
This is
amazing.
a magic bullet.
Magic bullet is going to be amazing and perfect and flawless from day one. And so people get really excited and you go and you believe, hey, this is going great. Eventually, what you've seen a lot of my clients is that the first release comes out and it's a first release. So it's bugged, data not there. Some with ports are difficult or impossible to extract. And so that kind of backfires. People go like, yeah, you know what? This doesn't really work. So let me go back, switch back to my business as usual mode. And that you have burned the reputation of a tool with 1.0 release. And then maybe in a few months, the tool gets so much better, but you have still the reputation effect of version 1.0. So gaining back the trust of the people to the tool is going to be way harder. We see a lot of that. So
So
what can
what should you
do
exactly? My question
instead?
is, what should you do instead?
So obviously it's not that easy because it's also about a migration, right, of data and systems, and there is a go live moment where you kind of disconnect. You plug off the old system, plug in the new one. But with all this limitation, I would say one don't have a promise. Say, hey, we will go through a transaction period and it will be hard, but it will be worth it. So be ready because we're going into a transition period, people. This is not going to be great on day one, but give it a chance. Second, try to start implementation, if you can, obviously, with a few things and try to make sure these are relevant to your people, maybe again the same use cases, and work pretty well. Pretty
I have
well.
one question here. Would you roll it out to everyone, or would you pick the, you always know who is someone more willing to engage with new things and who is willing to give good feedback. So would you roll it out to everyone, or would you pick like a subset of people where you know they help you make the product better or your tool, so to say, and
If,
then roll it out?
yeah, if you can do it, because again, sometimes it's really about that
Yeah,
migration,
if you
right? So
unplug and plug something new in, I understand,
sometimes,
but
yeah,
sometimes you have the
if you
chance to bring in
can,
something new, so to say.
yeah, if you can do it, if you can, obviously, this is a lot of a test and learn, and it has to do a lot with observing the people on how they work and listen to them. And observe and ask and empathize with them to really understand what tool would work and then run an experiment. Yeah, if you can do it, that's definitely the way to go. And then you roll it out to more people.
Okay, and now going one step even further back, you have not decided what tool you want as a CRO. You have a specific set of problems or a problem that you know there are some tools out there that you could choose from. Just because you're an expert in this field, how would you go about choosing the right tool for you and your company?
Again, there's many variables that come into place. Obviously, I would always, I think it has to do with customer centricity. And customer centricity is not only external customers, but mostly internal customer centricity. So other the pricing, the ability to scale, and so on. There's a lot, but you want to put your people at the center. So pick the tool that has the highest customization possibility to your people, or that already out of the gates resembles more how your people work today, or how you expect them to work in the future. So you want to map that out first. Otherwise, it's the old innovation mistake of saying, hey, this great technology is here, let's just roll it out. Yes, but what problem of your people is this technology solving for? This should be your starting question. Then go out there and look for the best tool.
Yeah, it's a really nice blueprint also for companies that sell software. So you map out first the value that you bring to the company and then the future state of how employees would work with the new tool. So it's also looking at the other side of the whole thing. It's a really interesting insight. Thanks for that already. So now, where does your company BTS basically bring value to the table? When someone, like, do you come in when the tool is already decided to, like, is already chosen, or do you even come in when they know I want to change something and maybe you can help me choose the right tool for us?
Well, I wish I told you both, but for now, it's really about when we are a little bit into trouble with our people. Yeah. So we need help to bring them on board. So how do we do it? Variety of ways. One can be exactly what I mentioned earlier, defining those use cases, mapping them out, really combining what your best people are doing already with what we have learned, and really understand how to put together that kind of use cases playbook, and then how to train your people to bring them on board, to see the value of those and to understand how they can have an impact to their results and how to bring them to life, how to use them. So this is one thing we do. If we came in earlier, before the company has selected one specific tool, what we do in other kind of projects, but can apply to this one as well, is to again have this deep shadowing and kind of internal customer understanding, to understand what these people are doing, what the problems are, and really send out a report on, hey, we believe that whatever tool you plan to sell to an external client or implement for your internal people needs to have these and these characteristics because it needs to solve this problem, this problem, this problem. And again, these problems are very specific of your organization and how your people work.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And now even one step back, when you know that you need some help from a consulting company, and now it's hard because you're biased, you work at BTS, but how do you choose the right consulting company that should help you?
Wow, that's a good question. Anything also applies for us, but for every consulting firm. So I would want, first of all, to see a track record of results. Were you able to quantify results you brought to the table? And what have you done in other companies similar to mine for the same issue or the same industry? So I want to see you bring value to the table. You've done that in the past. Second, I want to see that you understand me as a business and what is unique about me. And it's not just a copy paste of some framework that you put together. I want you to customize. I want you to make your project, your point of view specific to my company, to reality, business, people, culture, strategy, I live in. This is also super important. And to me, I believe it's also really important, the cultural fit. So, and I remember clients telling us as a feedback of why they chose BTS. I'm playing a little bit of advertising here. But what they said is like, you know what? What I like about you is that I can see you're not spoiling our culture, the culture of the client, with your culture of the consulting firm. For example, this client told me once, you know what? I saw the competitor's manager really treating hard the junior person. And yeah, that was a no-go. We don't want that to happen in our company. So cultural fit is also very important.
Okay, very good. And in terms of results, how fast should you be able to see results if you implement a new sales tool in your point of view?
that's a big question, right? In my experience, it depends on what results you want to see. Mm-hmm. So the end results you want to see is increasing sales and financial results, but that is unlikely to come overnight. So first of all, what you want to see is usage of a new IT tool. That's the first metric. Then you want to see changes in sales activity. Like, oh, now we're doing more visits, or we're doing more visits to a specific kind of clients, or whatever it is. Okay, and that is because now we can segment clients better and can be more selective. And then out of that, you start having more opportunities in the pipeline, larger size, more conversion, maybe less average discount because you were able to convey the value better. And all that leads to results. So I would say usage, if you do things right, it's a matter of weeks or a few months. Activity, it's more in the months time frame. And you should start seeing within a year, in my opinion, a better pipeline, or better sales metrics, and following after, depending on your sales cycle, better financial results. Yardstick obviously depends on
it's always depending on the company, but generally we are talking about B2B, so it was my gut feeling anyways that you shouldn't expect like big financial impact in the first 1, 2, 3 months. And you should rather look for first they should use it, then you should see a change of behavior, and then you will see like trickle down the effect from, I don't know, top of funnel to bottom of funnel over time. And then, of course, sales. Is there any other tip you would give someone, like a chief revenue officer, when they want to assess what kind of tool or what kind of new way of working, so to say, because a tool helps you to work in a new way, how to decide in which direction to go? So this is even one step ahead. You don't even know which tool or which direction you want to go, but you know there's so much out there, and there's so much out there. And what is the one thing that you should do to drive impact?
That's a big question, Sammy. I'm not sure if that completely answers your questions, but this is a piece of advice that I heard from a person in charge of sales enablement of that paper company I mentioned earlier. So what he told me is, you know what, oftentimes when we implement these CRMs, specifically CRMs and all these tools that can help you be a better salesperson, people tend to use those, first of all, kind of looking backward, kind of an historical record of the activity done in the past, right? So what does that mean? That maybe if you have a body of recurring customers, so maybe you want to look at historical record and see, hey, last year in June, we sold this and this opportunity. Let me go check with the client if we can sell those again, right? So you fish out what you did to try to make it happen also this year. Fine. Then you can go into the present. If you really have through data and technology a snapshot of what the situation like with this client, maybe you implemented recurring NPS surveys with this client and you want to know that because you go see them, or you want to understand if they've had any issues with the product, or you want to see how many contacts have had in the last month between the company and this client. So it's more about the present, the right now. However, it's really important that you think about that you want your people to use these tools about the future, about future prediction. But it has to do a lot with the pipeline. So that you really have strategic understanding of what do we have between now and the next 3-4 months with what clients, what activity am I foreseeing? Am I doing it right? Am I dedicating too much time in my planned agenda to customer that are too small and not worthwhile? Do we have the right amount of opportunities with the right product mix in the right segments? Do we have maybe one or two opportunities that account for 20% of my objectives? And if those don't go through, do we have a plan B, right? But all things about the health of your pipeline and the health of your activity looking forward. And the more data you have, the more kind of predictive it can become. And really mm-hmm. understanding through technology that given my past activity, opportunity size, conversion rates, and so on, I should be in a good situation right now to make it to my quarterly objective, or maybe not. And if not, what do we need to change today? So look at the future.
Now, almost final question. What is your favorite sales tool that you're using yourself?
Oh, that I use. Okay. I use Salesforce.com. Mm-hmm. This is our CRM. And that is a great tool. I specifically like those heat maps about to what extent are you investing on clients, neglecting some, and you can cross that with the data you have about the sales of the clients, and also the pipeline. For us, it's a few projects over time, but a kind of one large sale over time, right? So we don't have that kind of volume and velocity kind of thing where we need big data just to understand what products we sold, what's going on.
Yeah.
But about sales activity and pipeline, I use that a lot. I use that a lot.
Okay, very good. So how often do you look into Salesforce?
Every day, maybe every 2 days.
Okay. Yeah. Just seeing how you're doing it as a specialist, so to say.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's not analysis. It doesn't have to be analysis every day.
Yeah.
For me, it's more sometimes logging things, calls, notes, of changing the status of opportunities and so on.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So now we are already at the end of our conversation, Massimo. That was quick and to the point. And I have 5 rapid-fire questions lined up for you. Are you ready?
Let's go.
What do you do to keep body and mind fit and sharp?
Okay. So to me is one, sports. We have one body. So use it. Your body was designed to move. Find what works for you.
Huh? What sport are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing CrossFit, capoeira, some tennis, cycling. Skiing a lot, I like it a lot. One and two is get yourself exposure to something completely different at least every year. I don't know, for me, I don't have any tattoo, but I like to follow tattoo artists on Instagram. Wow, that's completely different. You see some different styles, and it's a world that is changing so fast. Does it have to do anything with my job? No, but hey, it's pretty cool. And so get yourself a variety of inputs.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Do you have a favorite business book?
Lately, I like a lot Multipliers by Liz Wiseman and Impact Player from the same author, Liz Wiseman. And basically, she pretty much codified what makes great leaders special and able to take out 100% of intelligence for the people, and what makes great contributors special, and really codify what these people are going to have a great career, what they do early on in their careers. So mm-hmm. it's really true. Sorry, I extended that, but they're really good books.
No, that's fine. We put it into the show notes. Very good. Do you have a favorite business leader that you follow? If not, that's also fine.
Now, Bob, okay, let me tell you. The one I will follow closely in the next few months is our new CEO.
Because BTS makes sense.
Just two months ago, we changed CEO, and the founder, who has been with the company for 36 years, is now the chairman of the board. And now we have a new CEO. Her name is Jessica Scone. She's from the US.
And the woman, that's cool.
And she's 45, so relatively young. So I'm really excited. I want to see what transformation she will bring. And I think we made a good choice. And let's see what is coming.
Okay, very good. Who should be our next podcast guest and why?
Okay. Let me think about this one. You know what? I think it should, I don't know who, but it should be somebody about the building a relationship with people. Mm-hmm. I believe a lot of people are very relational, mentioned that, and they're really good at it. But they tend to use always the same methodology. Keep hearing that over and over again, really building a connection. And nowadays, I believe that is no longer differential. So what do you need to do to really build trust with the clients nowadays, mm-hmm. beyond what people already do about, hey, being nice, being there? Is there anything new? I would look into that, because that is kind of taken for granted, but I guess it's not differential anymore.
I have a suggestion for you, because what you just described is what one of our guests did or does really successfully. He's the CMO and co-founder of Salesify, and he basically created communities for his C-level target groups. So for each vertical, and his target group, like I'm talking about C-level CEOs of 1 billion plus revenue companies. And they seem to do a lot of things right, because last year their company valuation was 700 million, this year 2.1 billion. So it's going in the right direction. And I mean, the core of everything is providing value beyond your own product, and really, really try to do it in almost selflessly, because then you will reap the benefits anyway. So this is kind of what I see in practice. And what I think would be an interesting listen for you.
Yeah, I would. I'm with you, and I think you're applying that well, Sammy. Also at your company. Absolutely.
Now you can directly address our audience. Anything we can help you with?
Oh wow! Maybe you can. You can give me insights. So you said a lot of your audience has to do with software, of the latest technological developments, right? I'm talking about some of the tools, but some of the tools I see a lot in my clients, they're not that disruptive. They are the CRM, the data analysis tools, and so on. But maybe you can give me insight of what is coming. What is the tech savvy salesperson of the future is going to look like?
Yeah, I can show you something after we stop the recording, because mm-hmm. we developed something. But yeah, I keep my eyes open. If I see something, I will refer them to you. Everything around sales, you're meaning everything about also marketing, sales, focus sales.
Specifically sales.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good to be focused. And where can people get in touch with you?
So you can either write me an email, massimo.pernicone@bts.com, or add me on.
Wait a second. So it's Massimo, M-A-S-S-I-M-O dot Pernicone.
P-E-R-N-I-C-O-N-E at bts.com.
Perfect.
Or LinkedIn is always a good way to be in touch.
Perfect. Massimo Pernicone, director, BTS. You will find him. It was a pleasure to have you on our show. Second time now. Last time was like 2 years ago, I think, roughly. Yeah. Let's see where you are in 2 years.
Great to see you again, Sammy, and all the audience. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, pleasure was on my, Massimo. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
If you liked the show, please leave us a rating and subscribe to our podcast to never miss a new episode. Do you want to grow your B2B business, win new employees, and drive sales with a podcast content engine? Sawoo can help. Simply schedule a strategy call with our host, Sammy Gabler. Get in touch on LinkedIn or via sawoo.io, S-A-W-O-O.io. You can also find all contact details in our show notes. Thanks, and see you next time.